Whether we know it or not, we are all seeking freedom from the temporary existence of the human mind. Now, we may call this freedom from illness, freedom from poverty, from sorrow, from any number of conditions or things. All begins in mind, in thought and belief. We must learn how to know God so that it is His mind that is expressed, not the temporary human mind that we function from. Jesus told us, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" There are people who have interpreted this to mean that the physical body is the temple of God, and therefore we should not eat certain things, drink certain things, or engage in certain activities. These interpretations assume that we were created with original sin, and therefore we are not pure, whole, and perfect. God created us perfect and whole, for we are the expression of God, which means that what is true of God is true of all of us. The temple of God is His consciousness. This consciousness has no iniquity. This consciousness is all that God is, the one love, the one power, the one wisdom, the one harmony, and the one abundance. This is our consciousness. But as long as we accept the false belief that we were conceived in iniquity and were brought forth in sin, we continue to delay our realization. We continue to delay our conscious awareness that God's temple, His consciousness, resides within us. It is the spiritual body, our spiritual body, that is the temple of God, not the physical one. The physical body will one day die, but we can never die, for we live in eternity as sons and daughters of the one omnipresent divine spirit. We fail to have conscious awareness that we are the temple of God because we identify with our physical body and human mind. The body has no mind or consciousness of its own, no intelligence, no will, and no purpose. It is only a vehicle we use in this state of experience, this consciousness. Our bodies are a reflection of where we are in consciousness. But of itself, it doesn't have any power. The mind is very much like our bodies. Of itself, it has no power either. The mind and the body will focus on what we give attention to. Now, the mind can help us learn things like play an instrument, create a business, learn about art, but we control our mind. The mind can also be an instrument in our spiritual unfoldment process as we read books, as we engage in classes, as we engage with others in conversation about God. Let us not forget that the mind is influenced by our emotions and reactions. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, where some time ago, for some, it may be decades, you play a scenario over and over in your mind where you felt that someone had done something really terrible to you, and you're still holding on to that anger. All that that does, that you keep that focus on that thing, is that you create a vicious cycle of experiences that replay the same thing over and over again. Such a cycle attracts more of the same. So the next time you wonder, why did I attract a particular experience, event, or person, examine where your focus has been for the last few months. There are people walking around holding on to some issue that keeps them stuck to either being a victim or feeling crucified for something they feel they did not do. It is difficult for God to come through if our mind is filled with a consciousness of universal beliefs, of fears, of anger, of hate. The mind will take in whatever it is fed. So we have to be extremely careful what it is that we accept as true and real for us. Our consciousness is a transparency. We must clear out the erroneous ideas we have about life, God, people, and most importantly, about ourselves. Some people have put themselves in a living hell and could not even imagine what it means to be the temple of God. Some of these people believe that God is punishing them. Now, this belief creates an environment where everything seems to go wrong. We must let go of such concepts about ourselves and others. We need to stop judging by the appearances and by the standards of this human experience. We continue to distinguish between the good people and the bad people, who's right and who is wrong, who's smart and who is not, who is worthy and who deserves whatever punishment comes their way. Joan Goldsmith tells us not to be deceived by appearances, whether they are good or whether they are bad. Let us not call one person strong and another beautiful. We must look beyond the appearance to the invisible life which makes all this beauty or form appear. Then we can enjoy every aspect of creation, every appearance, whether it is a human body, an animal, a species, or a plant. These are forms of life, but if we do not understand that eternal life, which vitalizes these forms, they may appear as either good or bad, young or old, sick or well, rich or poor. When we live strictly from what we see, hear, feel, smell, and taste, we are living from a limited sense of life. This limited sense of life depends on shifting values. When we live from a spiritual understanding of life, we can appreciate the form while recognizing the infinite invisible as the essence of the form. When we can see beyond the form, beyond the appearance, and see the invisible, we see God as the principle of all life. Then we understand the difference between material living and spiritual living. A spiritual teacher once said, "The truth entertained in our consciousness is the law of life, of harmony, and of resurrection unto our body." To the degree that we are open to truth, abide in it so that it envelops our thoughts and mind, to that degree will we be an instrument for God's expression and manifestation. Many people, when we first come to Divine Science, we are seeking to change something in our life. Yet, when we do this, we are only changing one human condition for another. All of us, at some point, must give up that search, and instead, we lack not a thing. For the human condition cannot be improved or saved. The reason for this is that the principle of the human condition is duality. There is good and there is evil. There is up and there is down. There is duality of those who have and those who have not. For at least 2,000 years, there have been efforts to perfect the human, either the body or the mind. And just when someone discovers something that seems to be the miracle cure or answer, it either doesn't work for long or it only works for some. I call this the merry-go-round of the human condition. In some ways, this is the story of the prodigal son, our story. We left our father's house to find adventure and prove that we can do it on our own without him. We wanted the freedom to go off on our own and do for ourselves without help. Doesn't this sound like a 15-year-old? In some ways, I think we're still 15 years old. Yet our father, who loves us, does not stand in our way. Instead, he waits patiently for our return. He doesn't judge us or punishes us. He waits with open arms, for his nature can never change. It is today as it was from the beginning. Jesus told us, "My kingdom is not of this world. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." He instructed us to take no thought for our life. In fact, we are to take no thought regarding our spiritual unfoldment either. "We shall not judge by appearances" includes not judging the spiritualness of a person or ourselves. Most of us, when we are first introduced to divine science, seek the demonstrations. Demonstrations are the so-called miracles that Jesus was responsible for. If they don't come, then we may get disillusioned. Let us not judge others or ourselves in terms of what is happening out here or what we do or say. This is a process. The good news is that God will never leave us. He can't leave us. He will always be with us at all times, in all places, in all situations. The key to know God's kingdom is not to want the kingdom for the sake of the kingdom, but to want to know God, to want to have a relationship with God, and above all else, to want to be in his presence consciously. Now that is real freedom. We are here to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness means right thinking according to God's truth and principle. But let us be clear, we cannot break, destroy, or eliminate anything that is of God. If our goal is to eliminate some error, some lack, or some sin, or some illness, it will not succeed. These things are appearances. Without our faith in them, they will disappear from our daily living. In fact, just by putting our attention on these things, they will increase and grow in our awareness and experience. Once we have the conscious awareness of God as our life, error, sin, lack, or disease will simply disappear from our experience. We cannot fight with an appearance or try to get rid of it. It cannot be done. We can only see beyond the appearance to see God. Once we have God realized in consciousness, the appearance will be gone. This is why when we go to a practitioner, the practitioner does not address the problem at the level of the problem, but instead the practitioner turns within to the temple of God. God can only be known in a consciousness that has realization of truth. In the Bible, we are told, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." It makes sense that we listen to him so that he can give us his revelations. What do we have to tell him about our problems, our wants and needs? He is God. He knows what he needs to know about us. He will take care of everything, not by fixing a problem, by expressing and manifesting in our experience. The issues we face in life don't come from God. They come from our state of mind, of where we are in our consciousness. In God's light, all seeming problems will melt away. Being silent as we enter his temple, which abides within, is the way for our consciousness to be transformed and our true consciousness, the Christ consciousness, to be revealed. praying the silent prayer constantly, being open to God, to know Him and be a vehicle for His blessings and grace is the key. We are told in Acts that Jesus was lifted up into heaven. The disciples witnessed this with a cloud until a cloud got in the way. But the cloud was not in the sky. The cloud was within them. The cloud is our limited awareness of life, our human consciousness. It is this consciousness that keeps us out of the temple of God. It is written in John, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me." There is always a you. The responsibility is always upon the individual. In order for the you to become transformed to I, the I of God, we need to turn to Him over and over and over again. Heaven is not a place separate and apart from where we are at this moment. Heaven is here right now. All that is here right now. Realization is what makes it real for you and for me. The cloud keeps us from witnessing heaven is nothing more than a material sense of existence. There is no material existence, only a material sense of existence. In the temple or garden, or in spirit or in truth, the substance out of which all things are made is saying, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is yours." In other words, while spirit is all there is, and in the spirit we live and move and have our being, there is no place else where we have our being. This truth is of no benefit until the realization takes place. And it is here that we know that we have been living in the temple, and yet we knew it not. This is why we are told, "Choose ye this day." There is no place to go to when we can find ourselves in heaven, because heaven is here. The Bible says, "Now are we the sons of God." While we live and move and have our being in the temple, where we abide is totally up to us. We're talking about consciousness. We're talking about realized truth. No man can serve two masters. Therefore, we are to choose between the temple of God and the consciousness of duality. Emma Curtis Hopkins said, "Steadfastly facing thee," which means keep your attention on God. It is always on God. Nona Brooks, one of the founders of Divine Science, said, "The old beliefs are passing. The new revelation is showing us God in action in every expression in the universe of form. God is His universe. If we raise our eyes to the stars, we see the light of God shining through. If we watch for the glory of the sunlight, we see God again. Mother Earth and all of her children show us God activity, radiating love. Nature is God in action. What about our daily mundane affairs? Is God active in these too?" Nona Brooks told us, "God is working out His universal plan in the affairs of all of us. Are we cooperating? God is not a ruler in our life. God is our life. God works by means of you and me and all other people on earth. Let us be, by choice, co-workers in the kingdom. There is neither first nor last here. All is one." Miss Brooks also said, "There are neither mysteries nor miracles in the kingdom of God. There is cause and effect, which divine science thinks of as one. This is the truth of every day. There are no places where God is not. Our ignorance of the principle of universal love accounts for the bondage that we sometimes feel. There is only one way. It is the way to life eternal. The light of truth is ever shining on this path, which leads to reality. The light of truth shows us there is one presence and power, and that this presence is the only presence, this spirit, the only substance, this mind, the only intelligence. The imprisoned splendor is released when we can see God in all things, treat all people as children of God. For God's temple is found in all. There is only one temple, there is only one God. Let us stop looking for God in the external and instead find him within our very own being. God is known through the still, small voice. We invite him to express through us when we can still the noise in our mind and the emotions in our heart. We invite him to give us his revelations when we ask for nothing but joyfully listen. We listen carefully with expectancy, which indicates our faith in God. When we can truly say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant hear us." This year, let us put first things first and die daily to human beliefs, values, and understanding. For of our own self, we can do nothing. Every moment we spend with God in silent communion, we get glimpses of God until we have the realization that the Spirit of God dwells in the temple which is within, and the Spirit of God is upon us. Will you please join me now for our closing meditation? If you feel comfortable, close your eyes, relax your bodies. Just be still and quiet. Know that you are never alone. He is always with you. For there is a realm of consciousness that is so pure, it has never been touched by the human experience. This is God's consciousness, which resides within each of us, available at all times. There is one God, infinite, all-knowing, divine intelligence, omnipresent, whose presence, being everywhere, secures equal power and knowledge to all. We communicate with God not through words, but in silent prayer, by listening, not talking. In this silence, this pure realm of consciousness reveals itself to us so that we will know and have spiritual understanding. Let us be still before him. Our silence is the way to his truth, his heaven, his kingdom. Father, we are ever grateful for your presence, your grace, and your spiritual understanding. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. The Lord shines his face upon you and lifts your consciousness, giving you his kingdom. Amen.